Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting here with Michael Goudeau, who's sitting across from me, and I was on television last night, Mr. Goudeau.
That's what I heard.
I wasn't on myself. I was talked about, and I think that there's probably a big overlap. People listen to this show, or maybe I'm flattering myself, but I would think there's some sort of overlap to people who listen to this show and people who listen to the Colbert Report. It's a funny show. I'm not one of those people. I don't watch it myself, just because I'm working. You know, I got a Thanks. Show to do. But everything I've seen of it, which is about 7 minutes and mostly on YouTube, has been wonderful. And I also read the text of his speech he gave at the press meeting and loved it. And of course, John Stewart is an aristocrat and been a friend of ours forever. We've done his show several times, and he's also connected with the Colbert Report, I believe. And John Stewart also attended the high school that Teller taught at. The year Teller quit from teaching, John Stewart entered as a sophomore or something. And his goal in life was to make Lawrence Township High School be famous for John Stewart instead of where Teller used to teach. And I think he may have been successful in that, although Lawrence Township High School is not very high school is not very well known. So last night at the Colbert Report, they had this guy, which I will refer to as this guy. I could look at my notes and see his name, but it troubles me, and it would trouble me more if I were Catholic. Of course, if I were Catholic, pigs would be flying and dropping atomic bombs. But if I were Catholic, it would really bother me, because this guy has like the Catholic group, the Catholic gang, the Catholic band, and it's the Catholic band, and he speaks for all Catholics, except he doesn't.
The
right?
Tribe.
He's the tribe. He's not appointed by anyone. He does not have a hat. Most people from the Catholic Church have a hat.
If you're no high hat. Up, you get a hat.
You get a hat. He also hasn't been voted popularly. He's not an entertainer. He can't do anything. I mean, whatever you can say about me talking too much, I can juggle. Okay, I have a skill. I can do magic. This guy has nothing but a pain in the ass, which is he does. And he feeds right into TV shows because people like Colbert have him on because he's a buffoon and a loon.
It's funny, yes.
And they quote stuff and put it around. But what he said last night was he was sick of people like Penn Jillette and Bill Maher. And Bill, I'd like to point out that I got top billing. He's sick of Penn Jillette and Bill Maher for making jokes about Catholics. Now, I don't make many jokes about Catholics. What I do is ridicule the ideas behind Catholicism. And this guy tries to pull this creepy bait and switch where he pretends that when you're making fun of Catholics, it's the same as a racial comment. Like, it's making fun of African Americans or Native Americans or any of that kind of stuff. Catholic is not a race, you stupid, dumb Catholic. Okay? It is not a race of people. It is a belief system.
And
belief
systems,
a set of ideas are supposed to be discussed. You can say the Protestants and the Catholics can argue about theology without arguing about now. Richard Dawkins would be all over me and point out that most people are the religion they were born into. There's no doubt about that. Theological decisions don't tend to be logical decisions. They tend to be where you're from. But that aside, when I talk about Catholicism, I'm not talking about people who are born into the Catholic religion. I'm talking about what people believe. And what this guy believes is insane. He's an absolute whack job nut, and he's dangerous. But the funny thing is, and this is what he accused me of, and I love this, is that Bill Maher, this is not his exact words, but he said, can you find his exact words?
I might be able to find his exact words.
What he said essentially was that Bill Maher and I didn't make enough fun of Jews. He said we did all this stuff about Catholics, but we didn't attack the Jews, and we wouldn't dare attack the Jews. 866-570-PEN-7366. Does Penn attack the Jews enough? That's the question we've got
right
here.
Are you hard enough on the Jews?
Hard enough on the Jews, yeah.
Here's the quote. I'm fed up with the Penn Jillettes and Bill Maher's telling their dirty little jokes about Catholics that they wouldn't tell about the Jews.
They wouldn't tell about the Jews.
He just doesn't listen to the show, does he?
No, he has no idea. Because we've done... I have done a lot of stuff that I thought was... The difference is there is not a spokesman self-appointed spokesman for the Jews who doesn't have a sense of humor and doesn't get jokes and doesn't understand. All of the stuff we have done about the Jews has been about the belief system and not about the cultural stuff. We've never done anything cultural about the Catholics. We've never done any of those, you know, Irish Catholic drinking jokes or any of that. We do it about the theology. And the culture of the Jews, I would never make fun of. The theology of the Jews, I would. One of the greatest letters we got to Bull's hit was a woman who's a friend of mine, now has become a friend of mine because of this letter, email friend, when she wrote and said she was really upset that we did not attack Muslims enough, that Bull's hit attacked Catholic Jews, all general religion, but did not attack Islam enough. And I hope we did a little bit of that on our 9/11 memorial show, but we should do more. And in saying this, if you want to call up and talk about whether I should attack the Jews more or about this guy or about the Colbert Report, I'll take any calls on that. That's cool. 866-570-PEN 7366. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com. Sitting here with Michael Goudeau. The week coming up is extraordinary, the rest of this week and the next week, because tonight The Aristocrats starts on HBO. So if you didn't get around to seeing it in a theater, if you didn't get around to buying the DVD or renting the DVD, then you're a Philistine. But it is now coming out on HBO. So those of you who have subscribed to HBO, incidentally, Showtime is in the same package, so you can watch Bull's hit. You'll be able to see The Aristocrats on your television set, broadcast, as it were, which should be really fun. And in honor of that, we're having John Lovitz on tomorrow, who is not an aristocrat, but having John Lovitz on will be a blast. He's going to do the whole hour with us. Monday, the entire hour will be Lewis Black. And my friend Lauren, who loves Lewis Black more than me in the world, is just crazy. She's staying in Vegas so she can be here when he comes to the house. But Lewis Black's going to be on Monday. And we're going to have a lot of aristocrats all next week as kind of a celebration. But Friday, I'm thinking that we're going to try to. I'm going to try to get my friend in New York, who is from Iran, and she's an activist about the Middle East. I don't know jack about Iran. I don't know a thing about the whole Middle East. I know nothing. 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 Stupid, 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 stupid. That's me. I told her I'm going to give her 44 minutes, that is our whole show, to explain the Middle East to a dunderhead. So we can get her on the phone on Friday. We're going to pay for our sins. We'll have goofy, crazy shows on Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week. But Friday, you could listen in and learn everything about the Middle East, and maybe we'll solve the problems and then can really enjoy our comedy. Let's take a phone call. Let's take a call from Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
Never better, boss. here's the thing, and I'm talking about this with my father recently because he's Jewish, and we actually, for my birthday, we went to a kosher steakhouse, so we were talking about Judaism and all that stuff. And it really is, it's a cultural thing, you know. If you make fun of Jews, then you're making fun of a culture. Mm-hmm. If you make fun of Catholics, you make fun of something that they consciously choose to believe.
You know, this is something that, then what is the word? This is what I need. What I need is the word for someone who is a practicing theist Jew as opposed to a cultural Jew. Is there a word you can use there easily? Because it's pretty easy to use the word Christian, and that does not mean white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. It does not mean rural black. That means not a culture, but a religion, Christian. What is the word I use? If I want to trash the kind of Yetwa followings, the areas of Judaism that overlap completely Christianity and Islam, the Abrahamic religions. What's the word I use? Because I don't want to say something bad about the Jews and think people think I mean corned beef and Yiddish, two of my favorite things in the world.
I guess you would have to make it a little bit longer than you would wish, and probably say something like the Jewish religion or people who believe in Judaism, because the two are so intertwined. I mean, the Jews come from the Jewish tribes, and you know they all. The religion was passed down through their cultural bloodline, so it's very hard to separate the two. But I got to say,
you know, I'm reading the Dawkins book. There's a new Dawkins book that's going to be coming out in about 2 months called The God Delusion. And he says that he was talking to very high up Jewish leaders in England, very prominent Jews, very well-known Jews, who he was able to say in conversation simply said, "I don't believe in God." And yet, that cultural Jewish thing is very, very important. So it is kind of a tough thing. And I think that the idiot on the Colbert Report has a point, although, of course, always with him, it's the wrong one. But the point is that that if he's trying to make Catholicism a culture like Judaism, and Judaism really is.
Well, I guess it'd be harder to make Catholicism a culture than to make Judaism a culture, because Judaism, again, is passed down through the bloodline. You know, it's... Specifically, it must be the mother passing along the trait and all that.
Of course,
you know, anybody can join.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, anybody can. I mean, Sammy Davis Jr. became a Jew. Anybody can join it, but they just don't proselytize. They don't push for it.
Religion. You can practice the Jewish religion, but you're not technically, I mean, especially to the Orthodox, you don't count.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, Lenny Bruce said that his definition of Jew was anyone who was from the city. Anybody rural was a Gentile. And I was a nut for Lenny Bruce when I was 12 years old. I might have been the only person using like words like putz and kibitz and in Greenfield, Massachusetts, with that precise accent. I just did it to you right there. With a kind of that little bit of a New Hampshire O in the middle of those words. I just loved it. And he said that, you know, if you can be Jewish, it has nothing to do with religion, but you have to be born in a city. And I was going, oh, man, 20,000 in Greenfield, a dead factory town, no chance. But I wish there was something that really embraced the not the elitism of you have to be born into the culture of Judaism, but the joy of the culture that everybody joins in and celebrate that and get away from, you know, because Islam, Christianity, and Judaism are identical. They're all the Abrahamic religions. They're all Mediterranean death cults. And I just really wish I could talk about the cultures, because we'll also say what culture there is that goes with Catholicism, the poets, and, you know, certainly with Christianity. Bach was a hardcore Christian. He was a Lutheran. And if that's part of the culture of Christianity, damn, I'm a Christian. But I do not believe in God, you know?
Yeah. I got to say, Ben, are you still there?
Yeah, sure.
Sorry. I'm actually kind of disappointed for you that you missed the Colbert Report last night, because the introduction that they gave this guy, they showed a clip of his show. Uh-huh. And he was talking about being tolerant about people who believe in evolution. Uh-huh. And the way he was talking about it blew my mind. Because, you know, I'm a scientist, and I know evolution and how it's supposed to occur in millions of years, and it takes time. And he says, you know, if you want to believe, it's okay that, you know, we started out as monkeys, and then we dropped into the trees and started walking around and lost all our hair. If that's what you want to believe, fine, go ahead.
Well, I want to point out that he is bowing to my whim, because he did do that on a Tuesday. So it was his foolish, empty, impotent attempt to be part of Monkey Tuesday. And he just failed, of course. That's cool that he did that. It also is really bothersome for the idea that you could be tolerant of evolution. That is just more offensive than anything else. It is true. If it's not true, disprove it. There is no tolerance required. I always quote this. Einstein put out, when he first brought his theory of special relativity, there was a book that came out called 100 Scientists Prove Einstein Wrong. And they asked Einstein what he thought of this book, and he said, one. It takes one. It's not a question of if you can be tolerant of evolution. It is either true or it's not true. If it's true, we believe it. If it's not true, we prove it wrong. Or more likely, if it's true, we try to prove it wrong and keep trying until we finally do. But there's no tolerance required for things that can be proven or things that are just made up in your little head when you're sitting across from Colbert because you are a whore for publicity without skills.
Absolutely.
And that's not talking about you either, Mike. Thank you so much for calling. What kind of scientist are you, man?
I studied a lot of neuroscience in college.
Uh-huh.
Graduated with a psych degree, but I focused in psychological neuroscience, basically.
Okay, cool. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for calling, Mike. Just want to know.
Tolerance for evolution is like voting on the sex of a cat. It's just, you know what I mean? Well, I say it's a boy. What do you say?
Yeah.
Good, okay. That's great.
I'm tolerant about that. If you want to think it's
exactly.
a boy, that's
you
fine
with me.
You want to
vote on it, that's cool.
That's cool. Whatever you want to say is fine. Let's take another call. Let's take Eric.
Sure.
How you doing, guys?
Doing very well, Eric. How are you?
All right, thank you. I just wanted to say that if honestly we're going to be fair, we got to make fun of everybody. I mean, you can't just pick and choose who you want to make fun of. There was that whole thing, I think Isaac Hayes, didn't he resign from South Park because they started making fun of Scientologists?
Well, there's two stories. The official press story from Isaac Hayes is that, you know, he was moving on to other things. Matt and Trey say without any hesitation that he quit because of the Scientology thing. And that seems very, very accurate. But I don't think I would be right if I said that that's what he said. But yes, Scientology is the thing that tipped it. And incidentally, in the wonderful, wonderful proof of how great the world really is. The South Park guys, Trey and Matt, congratulations to you. They were nominated for an Emmy for Best Animated Show for the Tom Cruise Scientology show with Tom Cruise in the closet. So, the tide is turning on Scientology, I would think. But go on, I cut you off terribly, Eric.
Oh, no, and also, you wanted to, you're wondering what the word was for someone you could separate culturally from practicing Judaism, and that's you would say, you're like an observant Jew and a practicing Jew versus a cultural Jew.
Cultural Jew is, I guess, the term you have to use.
Exactly. I mean, I happen to be a practicing Jew, but I'm well ingrained in the Jewish culture also.
Uh-huh.
You know, I make the same Jew jokes about the little old man in the old synagogue. And, you know, I also go to synagogue on Saturdays. So I think it's a good balance. But also, I mean, if you're going to make fun of everybody,
uh-huh.
I have friends that are Muslim. We make fun of them.
Uh-huh.
I have Christian friends. We make fun of them.
Uh-huh.
I have Jewish friends. They make fun of me.
Mm-hmm. I hope the atheists are in there somewhere making fun of everybody.
Yeah, exactly. But we're making fun of them.
Sure, okay. Of course.
But basically what I'm just saying is if you're really going to be tolerant, and that seems to be the theme of our discussion right now, if you're going to be tolerant, you got to be tolerant of everybody and know that it's just a joke.
Well, there's two different things. There is the good-natured joke that comes to and from someone you respect. And then there's also the people that you differ with. And Kinky Friedman has a great thing where he says you joke with your friends, you don't joke with your enemies. I don't imagine you have any good-natured Nazi jokes. I don't imagine you have any good-natured terrorist jokes. And that's an important distinction. But I think since we brought this up, I'm going to tell you a Gentile joke, and maybe you have one for us, too. Two Gentiles are walking down the street. One Gentile looks at the other and goes, "So how are you doing today?" The other one says, "Great." Do you have a Gentile joke? We're going to take a break right here. We'll be back after this. 866-570-PEN-7366. That's Penn Jillette. Make too little fun of the Jews. Sitting here, we're just talking about if I make enough fun of the Jews or not. I think we've kind of decided that I do make enough fun of the Jews. We had a couple of great Gmails, and I'm not going to read out. I'm going to paraphrase them if you don't mind. But one of them said, one of the reasons you don't make fun of the Jews is that they don't do stupid stuff like send an idiot onto the Colbert Report to make a fool of himself. And I think that may have solved that whole issue. I'm done with that. Yesterday, at the end of the show, I threw right in this challenge and said that I had gotten a MySpace account. I did not use my name, but could anybody find it? Well, Laura, who's, you know Laura, our woman that runs the office. Phone answering girl or person who runs the office.
Yeah, okay.
One of the two. Either one is fine with me. And she also does a lot of the PR stuff, and she does a lot of the merch stuff. And she just looks bosser every day. You know, she's just...
Right.
Most of our employees, I mean...
She's great.
Like Crasher and those guys, they look worse, you know? But now, Laura's looking better all the time. She had this, like, weird, like, hellbilly streak in her
Laura
hair now.
Zeke.
She's wearing a...
Zeke looks
too.
Better
Although
every day.
Zeke, you know, Zeke, when he started working for us, was 19. And I'm so looking forward. I hope I live long enough to see him fatten in pain. Because Zeke is just, you know, thin and everything works and he's really punk rock and all that other stuff, but I just want him to have that first pain that never goes away, which you get at about 28, 29, like it's like your back usually or a rotator cuff or something, and it's never going to go away until you die, ever. Every waking moment and while you're asleep, you wake up for a moment, that hurts. How many places on you hurt?
10.
10. Okay.
10.
Okay, 10. You've broken your pelvis and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, the broken pelvis hurts a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I broke part of my back, and I broke fingers and feet and everything. So I'm in pain all the time, and Zeke isn't, you know. So he has this, like, punk rage, like, I hate the world, I hate the world, I hate the world. And you can only have that kind of punk rage when nothing hurts.
Right.
When something hurts, you go, okay, the world sucks, but Jesus Christ, I just find a place to...
Advil.
Just got Advil something. So Laura found my account with no special skills.
8 seconds.
Like 8 seconds in no time at all. And then Vlad the Impala, who's one of our favorite writers, found it instantly. And he said he had to join MySpace and his computer crashed. So now I'm up to about 38 people who have found me on MySpace. And I'm not really, I wrote back to a couple of people, but it's nice to see the pictures there. And I think that, I mean, I am not too old for, MySpace. I am twice too old for, I'm more than twice. 25 is too old for MySpace. I think you want to be about 16, 17, 18. So the easiest way to find me, of course, was by age. But, because I think people my age on MySpace, there's like three of us. And we're all cops. And the other two are lying about how old they are. So, what bothers me about this, and I really want, if someone wants to call about this, they're welcome to. Why do we have to do astrology on MySpace? And my wife, she wrote a letter to, who's the big cheese there, Tom or something? And said,
Mr. Space.
Why can't you have an opt-out on the astrology thing? Why can't you just say non-believer or something there? But I put in diligently my birth date. I did it all right. And then up pops my supposed astrological sign. And you can click on that and get horoscope advice. And I think that's really, really offensive and misleading. And there's no way around it. There's no hack. Oh, actually, if there is a hack, please write to penradio@gmail.com or call us right now, 866-570-PEN. 7366 to tell me any way to get astrology off my MySpace. And the nutty thing is, they're very open on the religion thing. You can put down atheist. You can even put down none, but you can atheist. Atheist was spelled wrong for a long time on MySpace, but they fixed that now. They're totally groovy there. Why don't they let the non-astrologers speak their minds?
One takes it seriously.
Is that true?
I believe that to be true.
But we haven't done it on Bulls Hit because of that, because no one takes it seriously. But is there anyone listening? We're going to open up a few things. Anyone listening who believes in astrology? Have you ever met anyone who believes in astrology? 866-570-PEN. P-E-N-N, that's 7366. Astrology, I believe, is simply racism. It's judging people by how they were born and not who they are. How they were born and not who they are. They can't get out of that. This just in from the newsroom. What do you got?
I'm trying to type, sorry. Andrea Yates. That's a big deal.
Andrew Yates, yeah.
That's a big deal. They've let her off?
Uh-huh.
They're going to let her off?
Okay. They're going to let her off because she's not
she's
guilty
insane.
By reason of obscenity. Obscenity. Reason of obscenity. I'm getting confused because, Jack, you want us to take calls on the MySpace thing? Jack's not listening to me. That's what Jack wants. Okay, we're going to take a few calls on the MySpace thing. The Andrew Yates thing, there isn't much to say. Let's talk about astrology and MySpace in general. Because the Andrew Yates thing, even though it's breaking news, and this is the first time
we've had breaking news,
we're not going to stay on this because the arguments have been done so much. I believe it is crazy to kill somebody. And so shouldn't everybody get off by reason of obscenity? Reason of insanity. It's funny that insanity and obscenity are the same to me. Shouldn't everybody get off based on that? I mean, I just don't understand that at all. The other thing is, you know, she did this because God told her to. And people use the excuse that they have faith in religion because they believe in their heart that they know what God is right. That's the argument that's used all the time. Why can't she use the argument? Why can't she say, no, I'm sure of it. God wanted my kids dead. God did want my kids dead.
That's what she said.
I know that's what she said.
And then they said she was insane.
Yeah, exactly. But if you say...
If you're George Bush and you say God told me that this is the right thing to do...
Then you're not insane. I don't know the difference there. And I also... We got someone that believes in astrology. Oh, boy.
That seems impossible.
This is a big thing from Jack. This is someone who believes in astrology. Joe, talk to us, man.
Hey, Penn.
How you doing, man?
First of all, I want to say I feel it's a great honor to be speaking to someone so great.
Thanks so much, man.
I'm a big fan. I believe firmly in astrology because I believe that, like, how the stars and the planets are aligned, the gravitation has an effect on people, like the mentality.
Okay, Joe. Well, you know what we're going to have to do? You know what we're going to have to do with you? We're going to have to talk inverse square law. There's no way around it. We're going to have to get into some physics. Now, I'm sure someone can call up and explain the inverse square law better than I can, but I know it in terms of microphones.
It has to have something to do with it.
No. Let me explain this to you.
Look at the full moon, how the full moon affects people.
Exactly.
They say that the emergency rooms fill up.
That's not true, but let's talk the inverse square law. Do you hear how my voice sounds different here? It's because I'm further away from the microphone, and as I get closer, the texture and sound of my voice changes. Even parts of the harmonics change.
All right.
The reason is because gravity... and indeed everything has to do with the distance. Now, when you go down to particle physics, there are some things at a distance. So if you're talking about gravity, and you're going to tell me that where the moon and stars are affects the birth of a baby, then that the gravitational pull on the baby by the doctor that is delivering or the midwife that is delivering the child, that pull is greater than the moon, and the moon's pull is greater than any of the planets, and the planets' pulls are greater than the stars because they're further away, except, of course, the sun, which is kind of constant. So what you're saying is that all this stuff could have an effect. Why aren't you talking about a heavy refrigerator that's in the delivery room? Because that amount of gravitational pull, because of the inverse square law, it does not have the mass that the moon has, but it's a lot closer. So when the doctor leans over the baby, the pull of the doctor's mass, his or her mass, is greater than the pull of the moon.
But the doctor's thing, not as big as the moon.
No, he's not. But he's closer. And that's why we're talking inverse square law. That's why it is so important. And I use the phrase inverse square law without being able to explain it well. We have so many scientists that listen to this show. I'm sure someone will call in. But listen, it has to do with the fact that gravity, the reason Earth's gravitational pull is so much greater on you than Saturn.
Than the sun's.
Or the sun's, yeah. So much greater. It's just that you're closer to the Earth. Many times you're almost touching it. Whereas the sun is further away, even though it's...
a thousand times bigger than the Earth.
No, it's bigger than a thousand times bigger.
Many times larger.
Many is what we wanted to say. Many times larger than the Earth. So the problem with astrology, and I'll also say that that's attacking it from theoretical basis, but in practical matters, there have been a lot of studies done. I haven't got them right here. I can't cite them. But there are no greater calls for emergency room or for police on full moons and non-full moons.
Really?
The best way this was said was a friend of mine who said, there aren't more crazy people on a full moon. You can just see them better. So you want to rethink this and really think about it and also think about the fact...
No, you have made me think.
Okay, well, just give it a thought, Joe. I don't want to try to make you to convert right here, but I'm just telling you.
No, I will do the research, and I will definitely think.
And call back again when you get an idea.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Now let's talk to Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Never better, boss. What's up?
I had an idea for do an astrological chart, mm-hmm. and for each sign we'll find the dregs of humanity, the worst, serial killers, people who were born under that sign, and then we'll have, maybe a good person under the sign, too, just to show that, if that's going to tell you about yourself.
James Randi at the James Randi Educational Foundation, which is randi.org, has run several studies where they have astrologers do very elaborate charts of different people. I know this because one of the people they used, I think, was Teller, and they used some other people, but completely blind. They had no idea who they were doing, did the whole charts, and those charts, done accurately, were given to other astrologers, and they had a lot of time to look at them and study them. The only thing they didn't have was who the chart was of. They had no idea. And they were unable to separate, Charlie Manson and those people from, Norman Borlaug. You couldn't separate the good from the bad in a double-blind experiment. So the experiment that you thought of is a really good one, and someone else has done it. So thanks a lot there.
I had a thought on the cultural Jew versus the religious Jew. I was thinking about the spectrum of it. You have your... I worked with a lot of the Hasidic community. You have your
Orthodox Jews, which I call the Yama Yama Jews, with the payas and the whole thing. Yama Yama is a clown term for the full suit. So it's a Yama Yama Jew, and then the other ways?
But on that spectrum, you have people that would rather let their house burn down on the Sabbath than turn their stove off.
Right.
And then, you got the guys that I worked with that were like, you know, they'll drive their car on the Sabbath while they're eating a hot dog.
So exactly. So not only is there the difference between theist Jews and cultural Jews, but also within the theists, there's a big range. I'm aware of that, but to me, that doesn't matter very much. The big difference is not how much you believe in God, but whether you do or not. That's the really the worldview that I care about. But I'm coming toward the end, so I'm going to give a call. I still want someone to call up and give a real good explanation of the inverse square law. I wish Mike, but he's in Australia. 865-570-PEN-76. And some sort of hack to get around having your astrological sign on MySpace. We'll be back after this. This is Penn Jillette, PennRadio.com, PennRadio.com, with my faithful companion, Michael Goudeau.
Look.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette sitting here with my good friend, Michael Goudeau. 866-570-PEN-7366 is a phone number. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Those of you who listen to the show regularly, or at least once in a while, should have no trouble understanding how we got from MySpace to the inverse square law. But we did, very easily. You know, during the break, I was actually going to MySpace and adding people as friends. And I'm surprised that there are attractive people that listen to our show. I mean, like, attractive in every way. You know, I'd always picture the people that listen to our show. You're saying it's other people's pictures they're putting up. Those aren't real pictures. I mean, attractive in terms of their descriptions. You know, they're like their books and stuff. They make it's all fake. I'm just all I have is cops, right? I'm having nobody write to me but 51-year-old cops who are just trying to entrap me. But I don't even like young girls and boys. I mean, I mean, I don't like them in any sort of way that the police would care about. I mean, I guess I don't even like them in ways police wouldn't care about. I never even looked at kids until I had kids, and now I say to kids,
but you would date
how
a cop.
Old are you? I would date a cop in a second. I have dated a cop. The movie night cop was really sexy. I liked her. She was great. Yeah, I like cops. You know, I'm not a leather sniffer. I don't sit around listening on the scanner and waiting for everything to come down. I'm a normal guy.
You're a lab coat.
I think I'm going to change my orientation. I have my orientation is like undecided on my site, but I'm going to change it. I think to leather sniffer. But let's get back to the inverse square law, which is what really matters. Let's go with Dave.
Absolutely.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing very well, thank you, sir. What's up?
Not much. You just kept talking about the inverse square law. My high school physics. Sure, so I figured I'd call in and explain it.
Lay it on us, Daddy-o.
Well, you were describing it as basically things get weaker the further apart they get. Mm-hmm. That pretty much is it. It goes back to Newton. When he figured out his universal law of gravitation, he realized that the power of the force of the gravitational attraction between two objects, the further apart they get, the weaker it gets inverse square. That is to say, the formula places the distance between them at the bottom of a fraction,
mm-hmm.
and it's squared. So it's like g, this constant g, times the mass of the first object, times the mass of the second object, divided by the distance between them squared.
Okay, yep.
And as the effect is, it also applies to things like sound intensity, light intensity, electric charges. As the further apart they get, the weaker it is, because it's all spherically shaped.
Right.
So you think about the surface area of a sphere, it's got the square of the radius. So when you get, you know, further away, the square of the sphere, that force is spread out further.
Now, doesn't that in and of itself disprove astrology? Is what I said literally true? I know it's a nice example, but is it literally true that the gravitation from the delivering doctor is greater than that of the moon?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And then to top it all off, the fact that when the astrology charts were first drawn up, the stars were in different positions than they are now, because it was centuries ago when the stars do move, despite what astrologers think, it completely is bunk.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I don't like to use a term like inverse square law without knowing about that fraction thing and being able to bring that to mind. So it's good. And stay on call. Keep listening to the show, because we often need high school physics here, okay? We often need that.
Well, I think so, obviously.
No, I mean on the show we need it. So just be ready. Every show, listen to it. Be by your phone, because we can't tell when we might have to call on you. Thanks a lot, Dave.
I wish I could, but most of the time I'm in class. I'm on summer vacation
Well,
now.
This show should certainly be part of your class. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. Let me see. I want to go to, let's go to Toby. Let's talk to Toby. Hey, Toby, what's up, man?
Hey. Hey, Pat and Michael.
How you doing?
I was just thinking, it's not a hack, but the way around astrology on MySpace is you say that you're a band, and they don't ask the birth date of bands, and they don't put signs up.
Oh, really? Now, do and there's nothing, of course. It's not, are a lot of people that are bands, individuals? Well,
no,
I guess that's true. I mean, John Fogerty, Freddie Mercury. There's a lot of people who are bands that were totally individuals. But are there a lot of people on the on there that are doing that?
No, I've never seen it. It just sort of occurred to me.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll give it a try. Maybe I'll change my site to a band, just so I can have. Also, I'd kind of like to be a band. Thanks a lot, Toby. Thank you. I wonder if they send you stuff. There's what do we got here? We got this. Anything else you want to talk about here? What I really want out of somebody? I had one of my wishes. I asked for one wish, and that was that. Did I talk about? I wanted two things, a hack to work around the MySpace astrology thing, and I wanted a description of the inverse square law. I got the description of the inverse square law in spades, beautifully done, and we haven't really got what I would call a hack around that, but I hope we're getting something. I want to go back to the astrology thing, but someone wrote in that talent skips a generation. That's the folklore of it, which is something I really hope, because my mom and dad were very, very smart and talented. Then we have the year with me, who I do okay, but I'm a little bit of an overachiever. And then I hope that Moxie and Zoltan have that. But he points out, this guy that wrote in, points out that God created the entire universe, the world, and everything on it in 7 days, and his son could only turn water into wine. So that's a very big gap.
That's a drop.
From father to son. That's a big gap.
He should have done his dad's act.
let's take Dean.
Sure.
What's up, Dean?
Hey, I'm just calling because, like, astrology, it's based on something from 2,300 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something called zodiac precession, which basically means the stars are getting a different distance apart and things like that.
Sure.
So basically, if you were born under one sign, it's actually the sign from 2,300 years ago, so you're actually born under a different sign now. So if anyone says, oh, that's me so perfectly, they're,
right.
You know.
So what you're saying, if I may sum it up, is if it did work, it doesn't work.
Yeah, not anymore.
Even if it did work 2,300 years ago, it certainly doesn't work now. And we're pretty sure it didn't work 2,300 years ago. So thanks a lot, Dean. Let's try Jeff. We might as well keep on this astrology thing. People seem to care. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Ben.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, I really love your comedy, right?
Thanks so much.
And I'd just like to say that astrology, I mean, it's not based on gravity at all.
No, it's not.
No, it's... I mean, there's just a larger symbolism at work there that you have to research into.
But symbolism of what? Symbols stand for something.
Cosmology specifically.
Right. Well, cosmology is all real. What we're talking about is what are those symbols standing for? If it's not gravity, what effect does, for instance, the stars of Saturn have on us?
Well, supposedly some unseen force within the cosmological system, I mean, described by specifically the Kabbalah.
Oh, you're going to the Kabbalah thing? Do you wear a little string around your wrist?
No.
Okay, that's good. So you're saying that there is some force, not what are the forces? Gravity, weak, strong?
We can't perceive it. Yeah.
It's what are the forces?
Well, he says you can't perceive it.
You can't perceive it. So you're saying that there is a force that cannot in any way be perceived that affects us, and if it can't be perceived,
well, that's what's postulated by astrology.
I see.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, so you're not an astrology believer.
Oh, no, I don't believe in.
You're just saying that it has something to do other than gravity. Okay, well, thanks a lot for calling there, Jeff. Let's talk to Jim, just for fun. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good. Best show on the radio.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
I'm a practicing scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a physicist, but I helped my son with sophomore high school physics.
Yeah, that's what we're struggling with right now.
Yeah, and whether you know astrology in its original sense had to do with gravity or not, certainly a lot of people are invoking the gravitational rationalization.
Mm-hmm.
And the way gravity works, it's a function of a bunch of constants, and the mass of an object divided by the distance away from it, squared.
Squared, right, the inverse square law.
If you double the mass, you double the gravitational pull, but if you double the distance, the gravitation goes down by a quarter.
Right.
So that's the basis of, and it's an empirical equation. Nobody really can explain why it's that way, but that's how all kinds of physics works.
Right. So what I said, all I want to make sure is I don't like to give any more false information than I already do. When I said that the delivering doctor or midwife had more gravitational pull on the child than the moon, that is correct. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds like it makes pretty good sense. I didn't do the calculation, but considering the distances and how it falls off with a distance, it's important.
Well, I know our listeners, so someone will do that math, I'm sure. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Forgive me. I have one more quick thing about evolution. I'm a scientist.
Sure.
I get the American Geophysical Union newsletter, EOS, and the last couple of weeks they had an article. They had a bunch of letters to the editor about evolution being treated as a theory and then therefore being put at the same level as intelligent design and biblical descriptions.
Yes.
But we know that fossil fuels that we're using now were laid down about 100 million years ago or more, and that petroleum engineers and scientists use carbon dating and things like that to find fossil fuels, which are made of organisms, many of which are extinct but are related to organisms today.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone fills their car with gas and says that they don't believe in evolution, that's equivalent to someone eating a hamburger and saying they don't believe in cows.
I'm glad we waited for that, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Hi, Jim.
let's take one call from Andrea. We have enough time. I may be a little brief on this, Andrea, so please forgive me in advance. What's up?
Okay. If the moon affects the tide to water, and can we say that the human body is 80% water?
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman is pregnant and is with child, wouldn't the moon affect the water? The body of which
the amniotic fluid.
The stages of development of a fetus.
The simple answer to this is absolutely. If the woman weighs several million tons. If you cut down from that, if there's any Jenny Craig, if you are any smaller than Rosie O'Donnell, if you get off the 700 million tons, then it really doesn't affect you. You see, because...
So maybe it applies to whales.
No, not even whales. 700 million, billion, zillion. You have to have enough amniotic fluid...
Amniotic, not amniotic.
What'd I say?
Amniotic.
I've been taking Ambien, that's the problem.
Exactly.
Amniotic. You have to have enough to be the weight of the goddamned moon.
So, are you sure?
Am I sure? I'm not sure of anything. I can't even say amniotic.
Amniotic.
Amniotic. I can't say amniotic.
I can't even say it. I'm not going to try.
So that's the answer. It all has to do with mass and distance. And I think that if we learn nothing else today, people, I hope we learned a little bit about the inverse square law. This has been, Andrea, thanks so much. I want to say that tomorrow, John Lovett, for the whole hour he's going to be here. Friday, we're going to try to explain the entire Middle East problem from someone who really is what we call, when we're on the radio, a Middle Easterner, but now living in New York City. Monday, we're going to have Lewis Black. Tuesday, of course, will be Monkey Tuesday. And the rest of the week, next week, will be all aristocrats. We're going to have a comic every day. Lisa Lampanelli, Howie Mandel, they're going to be here doing the whole show with a comic. Not like other radio shows where you get like 10 minutes and they do their jokes that are just used for their, out of their nightclub act. We'll be doing lots of talking with comics here on the Penn Jillette Show. Now, As we run the end of this, I want to explain the inverse square law. You hear as I go further away, not only does the volume sound different, but also the texture. It's the texture that matters. See how the texture is different?